Welcome to the Logia Books podcast,
Thank
where we talk
you.
about everything to do with our books and everything to do with Logia Publishing, or Logia Books rather, and the work that we do. So I'll just hand over the floor to you, allow you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you. My name is Akudo Chukwuma. I am a writer, obviously. And then I'm also a teacher as well. I've lived all my life here in Nigeria. Was born in Lagos some years back, some decades back. Schooled here, went to the University of Ibadan. I love writing. It's something that just comes naturally to me. My leisure time, most of the time, I just spend it either reading or trying to scribble something down. Started writing when I was about 8 after reading Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart. So after reading that book, I just said, oh, okay, I can actually do some writing. So I started writing, and since then, I've never looked back. So beyond writing, I also love to spend time watching movies. I love watching movies and I love singing as well. So that's basically it.
Wonderful, thank you. So the very first thing actually quite ties into your story about how you started writing, and it's really about inspiration. And I wanted to start off
Yes.
with a conversation about Balogun, the short story that's going to be in a short story collection, Some Stories. So
Okay.
I guess I'm curious about where the idea of Balogun came from, and like the inspiration behind writing that story.
Okay, it was a while ago. I think I read on the news how some beggars were asked, I think were deported. I'm not, should I use that word deported? But some beggars in Lagos were moved to a particular state in Nigeria. I was like wondering, okay, about the lives of these beggars, these people that are destitute, having no home and everything. And it sort of occurred to me to tell something from their end, because none of these people actually chose to, I don't believe any one of them actually chose to spend their lives being on the streets begging. There could be some things, some circumstances that actually led to them being on the street. So I just wanted to tell a story that could sort of capture what they are feeling, what led to them being on the street, and how people can even begin to sympathize with them. For a long time, I think for about 7 years, I live in the, on the mainland, so I always go to work on the island. So for about 8 or 7 years, I did that, and going through the streets, moving through the roads on my way to work, I see these people. Not just the beggars now, different people. I see faces, I see the traders, and I'm wondering what kind of stories, what kind of lives are they living? What stories do they have beyond what we can see, as people just meeting them or as commuters? So I really wanted to tell something that will make people to actually stop to pay attention to the issue of people being destitute, people being homeless on our streets. So that was the inspiration for it.
Great. I mean, it's interesting that you're mentioning that the inspiration is very much based on reality, because I think you can get a sense of that when you're reading the book, or rather when you're reading the story. So yeah, still on the topic of Balogun, the character of Mother in Balogun I find very interesting personally. I think you feel a lot of sympathy for her because, obviously, not to give too much away, she's a victim of circumstance. Like you say, it's not like people choose to live on the streets. But how, for me, a little bit, I'm also a little, I get a little bit annoyed with her, the complete surrender that she has, especially when it comes to her children, Iria and Iche. And I think beyond seeing his reaction to her, you don't really villainize that character. So it's not as a result of how the character is painted. That's just internally for me a little bit, maybe because I'm a mother as well, a little bit I'm like, oh, I wish you would fight a little bit more. But how did you find the empathy to write her even around her shortcomings, to balance the reality of her choices and then the inevitable or the unfortunate misfortunes that she has to then experience as a result of those choices?
As a mother, I'm a mother myself, so I don't think any woman or any mother in her right mind actually would want to put her children through anything that will make them feel danger or want to put them in the face of danger. So that was my first perception, or that was the first thing I wanted to show, that no woman, no mother would willingly put her child or children in the face of danger. So there must be something that pushes them to do that. And in this case, it was, how she found herself, So I wanted us to understand that, okay, she's also a victim herself. So basically, it's about her being a victim. And most, if you look at it beyond this character, actually, if you look at so many of the ills we have in our society, it's because some of these people or the perpetrators have actually been victims themselves. Okay, they've been through one thing or the other, and that has molded them, that has made them to be what they are, that has led them to make some of the decisions that they actually did. So that's just painting her as a victim herself is enough to make anyone want to, not to blame her for whatever happened to her children or whatever happened to her herself. She's a victim. Even there on the street, she was still being victimized, as we could see from the different people. I don't want to reveal so much. So she's actually a victim, and then that's one way I was able to use to show empathy or create empathy towards her.
Yes. Fantastic. And speaking of characters that I was a bit like, because I feel like sometimes you read a book, you get very, or you read a story, you get very passionate. And it's ironic that I'm listing these characters because, like you say, the family is victimized. I don't think I focus too much on the people doing the victimizing, because the one at the forefront of the story, I focused more on the family, and I focused like the other part of my anger at Ire a little bit, because of some final decisions he made.
That
Like,
you made.
so
Okay.
without giving too much away, how did you settle on that decision after you had built up the story so much to begin with?
Okay. Well, if you, well, the thing is, like I said before, he's a victim as well, and he didn't know any better. He wanted to make something meaningful for himself. Being a boy, he was able to adapt to the streets, and he was able to fend for himself and to an extent, fight for his sister. It was quite an insensitive decision on his part, but I think it still boils down to the fact that the society has made him become that. The society, the circumstance has actually closed his mind to different things like love, things like family closeness, and the rest of them. So he just wanted to survive, and survival meant letting her go.
Well, very powerful, very true too. So I want to take this opportunity to pivot to the second story, which is equally intriguing, Uziza Andose.
Okay.
You write Obinna's character in such a beautiful way where you don't sacrifice one part of him to prop up the other. And what I mean by that is, for instance, the relationship that he has at the time that we meet the character with Chiejene, and the way that you layered that story, because I love a good twist, and there was a little bit of that in this story.
Okay.
Somehow you gave like credence to both the spiritual and mental aspects of his character, and you didn't make one more important than the other, because I think there's a tendency to do that in stories. To say, oh, okay, so we're going to negate this part because maybe superstition or fear, or we don't understand, and we're going to focus more on this part. How did you come to the place where you could write it in that way, where you didn't make one part seem like silly, or you weren't flippant about one part in favor of the other?
Okay. It's still the fact that as humans we have different dimensions to us. There are different parts of us. We whatever all that makes us human actually, they all work together. We have the spiritual side, we have the mental side, we have the physical side, and they are all what make us human. Okay, so it's still I wanted to paint him as realistic as possible. I wanted to make him lifelike. And whenever we have decisions to make, whenever we want to do things, of course, we have these three or different parts of us, coming into play, whether consciously or subconsciously. And for this character, for Obinna, of course, he's been a lot as well. He's been a lot as a child. He's been through hell and back. And, somehow, this part of him, this mental part of him sort of gained, how will I call it? What will I, how will I put it now? He sort of gained superiority, but not in a way that will make us believe that, oh, this can't be true, this cannot happen, there's no way this can happen, and so on and so forth. So basically, it's the fact that we are all humans and these are the different sides to us. We have our spiritual side, we have our physical side, we have a mental side, and whatever we do, however we act, all of these paths come to play.
Fantastic. Yeah, you really, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there about just the multidimensional nature of human beings. And like I said before, I love when I'm reading or watching something and there's a twist or a reveal that maybe I didn't see coming. And I feel like I didn't see it coming with this story.
Okay.
Was the
Okay.
intention always to subvert reality?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It's I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to talk about somebody that has been through a lot and I wanted to put myself, and I think that was part of what I did. I wanted to put myself in the shoes of this character. Like, this character has been through this, faced this battle, lost somebody that was so dear to him. How will he react? How will he react to his world? How will he react to others? How will he react to the society? So I think it's just the fact that the character came alive and the story sort of wrote itself in judging from all that the character faced. So it was just bound to happen to have that twist at the end.
Great. I really like what you just said about the idea of how a character reacts to the world around them, because I think that sometimes there is we, especially even in real life, when we're thinking about people, we sort of ignore the fact that people have been through experiences and been through things in life,
Exactly.
good and bad, and that their reaction to the world around them is just being informed by all the things that they've experienced.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but the story is really, I mean, it ends on a hopeful note, not to spoil it for anybody, but it's a very heartbreaking, heartrending story, especially because it is centered around such a real part of our country's history.
Yeah.
I'm curious, first of all, on what made you settle on the idea of this story, heartbreaking as it is, and how difficult it was, or it may have been for you to write a raw take on a story that we've all heard, some version of or the other from people around us.
Okay, so this story actually resonates with me in so many ways because that part of history is actually my history to an extent. I remember growing up and hearing stories from my mother about all she went through at the time of the Civil War. She was actually about 8 at that time, but she could recall so vividly all that she faced, all that she went through at the time. So, and when she was actually telling I and my siblings and I, about the stories, about the losses, the people that died, how she lost her mom lost her twin brother and sister due to no milk. It was shaping my mind to an extent. I wanted to put some of that down. I think I was about 12 or 13 at the time. So I just said, why don't I tell a story? And After that, I got curious about that part of our history. I started to read books on it. I read books like Why We Struck. I read one by Cyprian Equensi and so on, long before Purple, what's that other book? Half of a Yellow Sun
That's the yellow sun,
was
yes.
written, yes. So I just wanted to know more about that. And the more I knew about it, I was, wow, I just needed to write something down. So I actually wrote this short story as a novel initially. So I sat down, I wrote as in a lengthy novel. Of course, when I got older, I said, okay, I can actually merge this because somehow all that I wrote in that story had been written before, okay, by different writers. So it wasn't very, very fresh in that regard. So I decided to modify it and make it a short story and tell it from the perspective of this one character and not just about the war itself, but the aftermath of the war. Because I could recall my mom, as she was telling us the stories, I could recall the pain in her, and I could see the pain in her voice. I could see how she felt. I could feel what she was feeling. And so I just sort of realized that, yeah, even though it's 20 years, 30 years after that time, it's still fresh in a lot of people's minds, especially those that actually witnessed firsthand the devastation that occurred at that time.
Thank you so much for succinctly but very detailedly explaining the inspirations of, around the story, because I think it's an important story in and of itself. But I think, as you mentioned, is a huge part of this country's history. I
Yes,
think
it
a part
is.
that people sometimes find difficult to talk about outside the confines of fiction. But the reality is this is a reflection of a lot of people's lived experiences. And
Exactly.
the traumas and the reactions from that continue till today. So I don't think it's a story that will ever. I'm very glad that despite reading the novel and thinking, oh, okay, so this has been done before, you didn't give up on the story, because I don't think this is a story that can be overtold if in any way, if possible. So
Thank
so
you.
just to round up, I want to know if you want to give us a little hint of what might be coming from the great mind of Akudo, what we can expect. If you want to talk a little bit more about the stories that we're talking about here, that's also fine, just as a way to round up this episode.
Okay, so presently I'm working on a children's story. I actually love writing for children as well, so I'm working on a fantasy story for children,
Nice.
and then I'm trying to put together a collection of all the poems I've written from when I was 10, so I'm trying to put them together and see if I can make an anthology out of them. Yeah, basically that's what I'm working on right now, or those are what I'm working on right now. So as to the novels or the short stories, I would encourage everyone to read them with an open mind. And let the message in those stories actually, speak to us. Let those stories actually speak to us. Let the messages in those stories actually reach us. Our world can be a better place. I try to live by the philosophy or the words of Neo Shundari, where he said writers are actually writers. And whatever story I tell, I try to tell it with an aim in mind that, oh, I can create a sort of change, a positive change through this story. And that is what these two stories are actually going to, I believe, are actually going to do for anyone that reads them. It helps us to try to make our world a better place. And that's what I'm really driving at. That's what I want these stories to achieve.
Thank you so very much. It has been an
You're
immense
welcome.
pleasure talking to you and getting your insights, not just about these stories, but just your insights about the world that we live in as a whole. And I
Thank
cannot wait
you.
for the next opportunity we get to do this, frankly. So thank you very much for your time. And
Thank you
on that
too.
note,
Thank you for having me.
I will round up this episode by saying we are Logia Books. You can find us at www.logiabooks.ng or at Logia Books on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram. So thank you so much for giving me your time.